What's going on, everybody? This is Robert English, your SoCal Seahawk, and thank you for joining me on this episode 4 of Short Yardage for the 2022 season. And how you doing? How we doing, 12s? How are we doing? Okay, let me settle myself down here. Let's bring it down a notch. All right, I don't want to give off the impression that I'm overly excited about what's going on in Seahawks world, but you can't help but be, you know, a bit excited. All right, so first things first. So it's been a couple of weeks since we got on the podcast here. The last time we spoke was after Seattle went punch for punch with the Lions and came out on top of that 48-45 victory, which left a whole lot of, give us a whole lot of things to be excited about, certainly on the offensive side of the ball, but all the questions in the world still remain on the defensive side. And then since then, you know, we lost a heartbreaker to the Saints, where we just could not stop the running game at all. We had plenty of opportunities to win that game. Should have been a win. So that really put a damper on things, didn't it? But then we follow it up with two wins against the Cardinals and against the Chargers, last Sunday, a game that I was at. And in those two games, we see what apparently looks to be a defensive turnaround. Ironically, in that Arizona game, that was probably Geno's worst game of the season, save for the 49er game. And he still was, you know, a workable quarterback there. You know, he just wasn't putting up the same numbers he had put up previously or prior or since. But yeah, the Seattle Seahawks find themselves above 500 at 4-3 in sole position of first place in the NFC West. And who would have thunk it? Not me, not you, and not you either. And don't say that you did. Don't say that you would have. I've been in the comment sections and oh my goodness. It's amazing. Some of we fans, God, come on, guys, just be honest with yourself and everybody else. Tell the truth that you didn't know this was going to happen. Be excited about it. Yeah, definitely. But tell the truth, you didn't know this was going to be the case. You're just as surprised as anyone else is. I said a couple weeks ago that I think we're coming to the realization that we did not have a clue. We didn't have a clue what the hell to expect. We think we know everything. Coming in, you know, June, July, August, we have all these, you know, people get on their social medias. We hear the so-called experts on TV say what will and what won't be. And then we go into the season and so often things don't go as expected, but this is a whole new level of unexpected. Now, and let's keep it on a level here though, right? Like, it's not like the Seahawks are 6-1. That would be crazy. They're 4-3, right? You know, so they're not looking like world beaters, at least not yet, right? So let's just to keep things in perspective. Just to keep things in perspective. We did lose to the Saints, who really aren't good, right? We did lose to the Falcons, who really aren't good, right? But we beat the Chargers. You know, the Chargers are supposed to be there's some people who are picking the Chargers to come out of the AFC West. You know, so that's supposed to be a high powered offense. We walked in there and I was actually at the game. First of all, SoFi Stadium is awesome. If you get an opportunity to go to SoFi Stadium, go there, even if it's not for a football game. I mean, I guess I don't know why else you would go, but you know, maybe a concert or something, but for the football experience was great. There's not a bad seat in the stadium. I mean, I was sitting in the 300 level, which is one level down from the top level, but I was first row, or actually second row. But even there, I mean, you still are close to the action. Like, the highest point in the stadium is still, like, you still feel like you're right on top of the game. Like, you're looking at the players' faces through their face masks. Even where I was sitting, it wasn't a bad seat in the house. Great. You when you walk into the stadium, you walk in at the 300 level, and you know, anything lower than 300 is actually down. So it's almost like the field is underground. Not unlike a lot of stadiums, but yeah, just really cool. It looks all fresh and brand new because it is. The Jumbotron that goes oval shaped around the whole, you know, the whole stadium is really cool. Yeah, awesome stadium. Anyway, that game was what was amazing. Geno was spot on. The interception Geno threw, the one that was actually intercepted, wasn't really his fault per se. You know, the pass got broken up, it popped right up in the air. Tip drill always comes down the defense's hands. Can't blame Geno too terribly for that one. He did, however, have one on the sideline that was just a terrible throw. And luckily the defender did not get underneath it for the catch. And I think even that's debatable. That probably could have gone either way via review. But, you know, when it's all said and done, the pick didn't happen. So Geno Smith, still only three interceptions through the season. Still the best passing percentage in the league. Up there in every other statistical category as a quarterback. Just amazing. Just amazing. The Seahawks are in first place in the division. The Seahawks are in first place in the NFC West. And now we go up against the Giants on Sunday, who are in second place in their division. Both teams are fighting for the first place spot. Right? The Giants and the Seahawks? Who would have thought that in week 8 that the Seahawks and the Giants would be playing against each other, both jockeying for position in the division for the first place spot in their respective divisions? No one would have guessed that. If you put your money on that in August, you're a millionaire right now. It's an exciting time. I still am trying to keep myself from getting too high on this, though. I really am, because there's a lot of football left to be played. A lot of football left to be played, but on the other hand, right? I'm just gonna keep contradicting myself in this podcast, I think, as I look forward to what I'll probably say. The first contradiction is a lot of football left to be played. Don't get too high, right? A lot of football left to be played, but look at the schedule coming up. We got the Giants, right? That's apparently going to be a task. We got the Cardinals, who we've already beaten. Even though it wasn't terribly impressive, do we have a blueprint? Maybe. The Buccaneers look terrible. We'll see them in Germany. The Buccaneers just look like a bunch of nobodies out there. Tom Brady is mad. He's arguing with his teammates on the sideline in between every play. They just don't look good. The Raiders, trash. And then we got the Rams. Okay. The Rams game is going to be, you know, probably up there with the Giants game as far as difficulty. Panthers pulled off a great win last weekend, but you know, I don't know. I wouldn't go so far as to call them good. But then we got the Niners, right? So, but you're looking at that. Look at that stretch. We got Giants, Cardinals, Bucks, Raiders, Rams, Panthers. That's six games. We can win at least three of those games. At the very least, three of those games. That puts us at seven wins. And, I mean, expectations are already out the water you know, as it is. I say like this. If we don't win another game this season, we've already exceeded expectations, right? Right? Being 4-3 and in first place in week 8, like that's a feat that was unexpected, to say the very least. No one was expecting that. So I mean, just that alone, we've already blown expectations out of the water. Just to be able to say that we sat in first place, you know, almost halfway through the season. We're almost halfway through and we're in first place. So expectations, forget about it, right? They're gone. We blew through them with 4 wins. Right? People thought we would only have 4 wins in the season. We have them already through 7 games. Right? The next 6 games, you know, some of them could be difficult. A lot of them are winnable, I think. Let's just say out of the next 6 games, we go 4-2. If we go 4-2 over the next 6 games, there's a very... We're going to the playoffs. If we go 4-2 over the next 6 games, we're going to the playoffs. Right? And... But... Here's the next contradiction. We got to go Chiefs. We got to go Niners, Chiefs, Jets, Rams to end the season. And that's not a good, you know, quartet of teams to end the season on. That's going to be rough. The Jets apparently are good, like the Giants. You know, so some, you know, there's some uncertainty there, right? The good news, though, another contradiction, the good news there is that out of those last 4 games, only one of them's on the road. And that's the Chiefs in December, in the cold. That'll be a good game. That'll be a fun game. Win or lose. That's not true. I say that. I don't even believe that. It's never a good game if you lose. So the last 4 weeks of the season, I think, are going to be telling. The last 4 weeks of the season are going to be what gets us there or doesn't. Probably going to end up in a game against the Rams on January 8th. And that game's going to be deciding if we get to go to the postseason or not. If we can slide into the wild card or not. Right? Or maybe not. Maybe that game's for the division. What's going on with the 49ers? That's the real question. Are the 49ers going to get themselves figured out? Are they going to continue to be who they are supposed to be? Or are they going the wrong direction? They got Christian McCaffrey now, which is very unfortunate. I saw that and I was, it pissed me off, to be honest. Like, with all these teams that go out there and make these big blockbuster moves to solidify their position or to make themselves significantly better, you know, significantly better. And... you know, Seahawks are just like, hey, we're gonna do it with what we got. But I guess I can appreciate that too. It's really interesting right now, guys. It's really, really interesting. I have to go back to a topic that I love talking about. I love talking about this because I have never wavered. I've never wavered on this topic. And so I find myself to be very high horse on it. And that is the conversation around Pete Carroll, John Schneider, the Seattle front office. You know who you are, people. You know who you are, the ones who have been calling for the jobs of Pete Carroll, the jobs of John Schneider. Right, I've even seen some where that Paul Allen didn't know, you know, what he was doing, and he had really something to do with the personnel on the team, and he should sell the team so we can start all over. I've even heard that nonsense. The Seahawks haven't had a good draft since the draft where Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson and blah 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 blah. And then name off all the people who weren't any good, regardless of the fact that there were a number of players that we drafted that were actually decent talent. As if you're supposed to hit a home run every year in the draft, right? getting rid of Russell Wilson, and you know, and even though people are just so mad at Russell Wilson, so mad, which I don't even understand either. Like, people, like, stop with the Russell Wilson stuff. If you want to say something about Russell Wilson that has actually that's factual and that actually has any value add to a conversation or a narrative, great. But stop with the slander. Stop with the memes and all this stuff. Like, dude, it's borderline. It's not even borderline. It's obsessive compulsive. Like, if you're mad that your boy is gone, just say that. But stop with the hey. We a lot of us Seahawks fans, where we sound like the bitter ex. It's the truth. We think it's funny. It's not. It's not. It was funny for the first 15 minutes. It's not anymore. It's not funny anymore, guys. This is from there's no bigger Seahawk fan than I. Okay, I am a 12. I'm saying this from my heart. Get over it. Right? You want to talk about the fact that Denver's losing, helping our draft position? Great. But just get off the Russell stuff. If for no other reason than because, you guys, Russell's going to be just fine. So it's like everybody saw what Tom Brady did in Tampa, and that set the bar to the highest standard. It gets no higher. You go to a new team, and the very first year you go win the Super Bowl. There's no higher standard than that. In your own stadium, no less. There's no better thing than that. Even if Russell did that this year, it wouldn't trump what Tom Brady did with Tampa. So, but that was the bar set. So anything less than that, we know we're grading on that curve, and that's not even fair. When would it ever be fair for a quarterback to go to a brand new team, brand new system, brand new personnel around him, brand new locker room, brand new stadium, brand new city, brand new weather, brand new everything, and expect him to go win a Super Bowl right now? That's redonkulous. You would never expect that. Except for the fact that Tom Brady did it. But no one's going to sit here and argue that Russell Wilson and Tom Brady are on the same level. Right? No one's going to sit here and argue that. So stop, like, knock it off. Russell will be fine. Watch Denver next year win 13 games. So, yeah, anyway, I didn't even mean to go into that. I'm here to talk about Pete Carroll and John Schneider. Here we are again, looking like a team that brought together a band of misfits. You've heard that before. A band of misfits come together, believing in the system, believing in the philosophy, and having it come together and translating into wins on the football field, notches in the W column, looking good and looking like they're going to get better. Right now, this may be a premature thing, that's how we were. We see what we saw yesterday, and we apply it to what we think is going to happen tomorrow. Right, that's how we do it. So this could all fall apart. This could all fall apart, and in this little couple of week stretch that we've been on the uptick, could all be fugazi. But it's looking like it's coming together. Kenneth Walker, first of all, Rashad Penny. Oh man, my heart just breaks for the guy. My heart breaks for Rashad Penny. And then, you know, here we go. Just like with Jamal Adams, everybody comes out, get rid of him. The experiment is over. Let him go. I get it. The best ability is availability. But these guys are bar none, obviously, the best or one of the best at their position in this league. You don't let them go because they're injured. Because they get injured. They get injured, they come back, and they still perform at the top, at the highest level. When Jamal Adams is on the field, he's doing what he does better than anybody else who does it. When Rashad Penny comes back and he's healthy, he does what he does at the highest level that anybody does it. It's just terrible that the guy can't stay healthy. But that shouldn't be a slight on him. It has nothing to do with Rashad Penny when somebody goes to drag him down and rolls up on the back of his leg and breaks his ankle or his lower leg or whatever it was. It's not. It's no more his fault than it is that when DK jumped up for that ball in San Diego. Not San Diego. Did I say San Diego earlier? I keep saying San Diego. In Los Angeles, came down on his knee funny. Like these guys are superstar athletes that are pushing themselves at 120% every time they're out there, and sometimes their body gives way, and then they go out. And they go sit down. They have doctors go up inside their body and do miracle work on them, just to get them to go back out there and go perform for you ingrates again, to go just to kill themselves for you to just talk trash about them. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I get it. The best ability is availability, but you're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? Kenneth Walker looks amazing. Kenneth Walker has, I mean, break your ankles, change of direction. He's got top tier speed. He's strong. The guy is great, and he's young and fresh, and maybe he won't get, you know, maybe he won't get injured. The guy looks great. The two tackles, Abe Lucas and Charles Cross, have been much better, not giving up penalties. On the offensive line, I mean, keeping Geno clean. Geno's taking only a couple of sacks here and there, but you know, we're moving the football down the field. This is great. We're looking great. And guess who put this together? Excuse me. I'm getting too excited. Let me get a drink of water here, real quick. All right. Guess who put this together? Pete Carroll and John Schneider. I'm telling you guys, you have to stop with this nonsense about firing people. I mean, if any of the people that I see on the interwebs work for the Seattle Seahawks, we would be an 0-6, 0-17 team. The way you guys are just obvious to say you're so willing to just let things go. Do you really think that firing Pete Carroll and bringing in somebody else, whoever that else might be, is going to what, bring about wins, bring wins right around the corner? You guys said that the game had passed Pete Carroll by. Pete's too old. And John Schneider got lucky with the drafts that he had early, that brought about the Legion of Boom and Russell Wilson, got lucky, but he doesn't really know. This is what I've seen people say. It's crazy. The New York Giants, on Sunday at 1:25 Pacific, gonna be a huge game. I think it's the biggest game of the weekend, but apparently Fox thinks that the Niners-Rams game is bigger. I don't know how the two most surprising teams in football right now isn't the biggest game of the weekend, of the afternoon block anyway. But again, Fox feels differently. Thanks for nothing, Fox. Bad job by you. Actually, I'll be down in San Diego, so maybe they'll have it on down there. But up here in the LA market where I live, they're going to be playing the Rams and the stupid 49ers. But going to be a huge game. Saquon Barkley. So the big question mark here is, the big question mark is the running game, the run defense. Can we figure out a way to stop Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones? The last time that we saw a duo of running back and running quarterback, twice this season, the Cardinals and the Saints, it didn't work out too well for us. It did not work out very well at all. Against the Saints, Taysom Hill ran the ball 9 times for 112 yards, a whopping 12.4 yards per carry. Alvin Kamara, did his thing to the tune of 23 carries for 103 yards himself, 4.5 yards a carry. We got ran all over by the Saints. Right? Ran all over. We just couldn't stop Taysom Hill coming out of the backfield. We're going to have to figure out how to shore that up. Follow that up by the game against the Cardinals. Wasn't too much better. Kyler Murray ran the ball 10 times for 100 yards. Right? And you know, and he was really the only rushing attack they had. But he also threw the ball for 222 yards too. So giving up 100 plus yards against these teams that could that run the ball whatever way they run it, you know, has been a bugaboo. It's been a bugaboo. And now we're going to see the Giants, who are very good at doing the very same thing. They use design runs for Daniel Jones, not terribly unlike the Saints do for Taysom Hill. Plus, they have Saquon Barkley, who, you know, there's some people who would say is, you know, one of the best, if not the best, running back in football, you know, who, as long as he's, you know, healthy when he's on the field, right? And he's looking good. He's looking good. If we find, I think the way we win this game is to score quick, score early and score quick. We've got to get out in front. We have got to make the Giants one-dimensional. I know this is like football 101, but I think this is really the key to this game. If the Giants have the ability to do either or, they're gonna hurt us. You know, the defense is playing well. You know, I think they flash and they will continue to, but they're going to have to gotta figure out a way to make them one dimensional one way or the other. It's got to be to the pass, right? We've got to stop the run early. We got to get out there and score. Take the opening kickoff and matriculate the ball downfield. A good, nice 12, 13, 14 play drive. Put the ball in the end zone, you know? And then come up with a big stop on defense on that first Giants drive. Go down there and score again. Go up 14-0 the way we did against the Chargers, right? And the Chargers are not a running team. They run the ball very little, especially for a team that has a great running back like Austin Eckler. Blows my mind. But go up early. You change the dynamic of the game right out the gate. When you go up two scores early in the game, you go up 14-0, that just doesn't quite look right on a scoreboard. You're going to cause the team to start pressing. If you go into the half up two scores, we have the team to hold on to that win. The secondary is making plays opportunistic. It's not four down linemen anymore, but our front seven is getting pushed. We're getting pressure on quarterbacks. You know, we have the team to hold off the comeback if we can get ahead going into the second half. We got to go up two scores, preferably two touchdowns. That's my ticket to the win. Again, I know it's football 101, but I think it's just that simple for this game against the Giants. If we beat the New York Giants, does the football world not turn over on its head? Does it not flip the world upside down, flip the NFL world upside down if we beat the Giants? If we beat the Giants, oh my goodness. If we beat the Giants and the Rams beat the 49ers, imagine that. Imagine that. Anyway. All right. Well, let's go to the comments. All of you that, what does it say? What's this comment say? All of you that come for those that post about Russell Wilson should ease up. What are you trying to? Oh, I think you're saying for people, the people like me who are telling people to stop posting the nonsense about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson will certainly end up on our rafters. He will always have a place in Seahawk history, and his and Denver's demise this year are both part of the rest of this season and actually years to come because of how each pick pans out over the, those comparisons will continue for a long time, especially if we get another franchise QB from the draft. That was from Thomas Adams. Chris Wilson did not like that post. Chris Wilson says, F that snowflake, BS. He threw his team and staff under the bus. He's a delusional prima donna. The world sees how good Pete and John are and how he is a one-trick donkey. Yeah, no. I mean, so number one, yeah, stop with the post. Like I said earlier, stop with the post about Russell Wilson. It's making us sound silly. It don't matter how bad Russell does. We still look childish. That's number one. Just stop with the childish stuff. Chris Wilson, and of course the phone rings while I'm in the middle of a podcast. All right, the phone only rings when you don't want it to. Chris Wilson, yeah, he's a delusional prima donna. No, he's not. Russell Wilson is a great athlete. Like, you know, guys, stop acting like we forgot all the great things he did in Seattle. Right? Like, just knock it off. He did a lot of great things. The thing, the wave finally broke and rolled back in Seattle, and sometimes you got to move on. And then the people get caught up in the details and the minutiae and all that stuff. Guys, this happens all the time. Right? Nothing lasts forever. Russell indeed will come back and retire a Seahawk. Let me tell you this. I say this. You know what? They didn't boo Brett Favre the first time he came back to Lambeau. They didn't boo Peyton Manning the first time he went back to Indy. You know? They didn't boo Joe Montana the first time he went back to San Francisco. You know, like I think we treated Russell pretty shitty. I think that might be the first time I've ever cursed on this show, but I think we did. I think we treated Russell very, very poorly. And when it happened, I thought it was kind of laughable. I thought it was funny, but you know, because I agree. I'm with the state of mind where, look, if you don't play for my team anymore, then, you know, kick rocks. Like, you know, I want nothing good for you as long as you're going against my team. Like when Richard Sherman went to Frisco, like, hey, I wish Richard nothing but the best as long as he's not hurting my team, whether playing against me or playing against in a game that's going to hurt me, right? So, you know, Russell Wilson will be in the rafters as, you know, as he should be, as he should be. But you know, I'm petty and I'm not a professional sports player, but I tell you what, I almost wouldn't blame him if he was like, you know what, if he goes and wins a Super Bowl with the Broncos and the everything turns around over there, you know, I would be like, you know what, I gave Seattle 10 years and they tried to boo me out of the stadium my first time back. Because I was trying to make something happen for myself. You know what? Put me in the Ring of Honor at Mile High. What if he's like, you know, let's ride forever? Unbelievable. The phone rings again. All right. Maybe if I stop talking about Russell Wilson, my phone will stop interrupting me. Let's see. What else we got? Should DK play this Sunday or sit out? No, I think that's an obvious... Well, you know what? Should he play or should he sit out? You know what? He should do what he should do. If the guy can play, then let him play. There's no advantage to sitting someone who is in no danger of re-injuring or injuring themselves further. There's also too much risk in playing someone if they have a high chance of re-injury. So I couldn't get any more ambiguous with my answer. Than that. Should he play? Should he stay? He should do whatever is the best. Here's one. Look, it's a silly one. Broncos 2-5, last. Hawks 4-3, first. So I was wondering if Russ is ruining the trade now. From Timothy James John. What a name. He's got three names and they're all first names. No. Why would Russell be ruining the trade? Dude, first of all, Russell got paid. And he knows. Like, those guys are on those practice fields every single day. They know what's going on. Like, don't sit on your couch and wonder whether or not, well, he's laying in bed with Sierra crying. Is she wiping away his tears? Saying, oh, I wish I was still in Seattle. That was the worst mistake of my life. Come on, dude. Are you serious? Like, you use your brains, people. Use your brains. Of course he's not. Why would he care? Yes, he wants to win, but he got paid a fortune. And he's out there doing his job. The team as a whole is not performing. I'm telling you guys, wait till next year. Wait till next year when Denver is, 6-0, 7-0 going into week 8. All right. The show's gone long. Everybody, make sure you get over and check out Seattle Sports Union. That's seattlesportsunion.com on the web. .com on the web. At Seattle Sports Union. Okay. This has been a funky podcast. At Seattle Sports U on Twitter and Facebook. Check out the team. Everything from, everything from the Mariners to the Mist. Of course, our Seattle Seahawks get Abraham Deweese. Matthew Page, myself, and the rest of the team, getting all of our unlicensed professional opinions on all things Seattle sports, especially our Seahawks. Brian the Soul Man Solak is what I was brain farting on. Sorry, Soul Man. Big game. Huge game. Biggest game of the year so far. We mess around and win this game, the world turns upside down. This is Robert English, your SoCal Seahawk. I'm signing off. Go Hawks.